on the steering committee of the Society of Practitioners of Health Impact Assessment. We have a flyer up here. I printed a whole bunch of them out, so please come grab one and learn more about our organization and what we do with HIA around the country. So in the interest of it being after lunch and getting everybody's blood flowing, if you're able, could I get you to please stand up? And Jamila, if you just want to come up and give the presentation, that'd be great. All right, so now stay standing if you have ever been to or through Memphis, Tennessee. If you've not, sit down. Okay, now remain standing if you're from the Memphis area or have lived there. Okay, good. So there's no locals in the room, so I can just make things up. Yes. So Memphis, Tennessee is a lovely place on the Mississippi River in Tennessee, America. So this is HIA of the Mid-South Regional Green Print, and I titled this presentation Strengthening Connections Through Health Impact Assessment, because that really became the overarching outcome of this project, was really getting the kind of community health and wellness group to realize where they sat within this larger regional sustainability plan and what they could really, how they could leverage those relationships to really increase health in the region, maybe in a different light than they had going into the project. Oh, and I have nothing to disclose. This beautiful slide tells you that. So I'm from the Health Policy Center. I led the project. Jamila Porter is here. She helped out a lot with this as a, what do we call you? You were the resident? Yeah, resident. John Zeno was the project lead with the Memphis Office of Sustainability. Michelle Rushing and Elizabeth Fuller are also on my team at the Health Policy Center. So this was, get that arrow out of the way, part of a HUD Sustainable Communities Planning grant to do a sustainable infrastructure plan, a green infrastructure plan for the Mid-South region, which includes parts of four counties in three different states. So you have Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, two counties in Tennessee. So the HIA was intended to inform this larger planning process. So somewhat similar to what Community Solutions did, this HIA, in their case, the HIA and the neighborhood sustainability plan were one and the same. In this case, the HIA was an integral part of this larger sustainability plan and not so much removed from it. This kind of illustrates a central role for the HIA. And then the one you're about to hear from in Kentucky is more of the traditional HIA, where the HIA was really removed from the decision-making process. So for the HIA wonks in the room, that's the difference between some of these HIAs. So there were four major components of the HIA. Preliminary report of baseline conditions that was prepared very early in the project to kind of get them all thinking about, you know, what are the health issues in the Memphis region. Then we had the full HIA report. We also, Jamila led this piece, developed an online HIA toolkit so the folks in the region could continue doing HIA work on some of the sub-planning and actual implementation projects that came out of this larger sustainability plan. And then we actually piloted that toolkit on a specific neighborhood, it was a redevelopment plan, a kind of a site selection plan in one of the most impoverished neighborhoods in the region. So we were really able to kind of tie it all together in these four documents. They're all available online. I encourage you to go check those out. And I assume these presentations are also available online, because I have way too many slides in here for 15 minutes. So the structure of the green print, there are 8 working groups organized around these strategic directions, and each develop 3 or 5 objectives and corresponding actions under those. So the HIA originally, I think when they put it in the RFP, they wanted to do an HIA of this whole big planning project. And then when we got in there, we realized that they were doing way too much for the resources allotted for the HIA to really look in a level of detail across that whole project was going to be very difficult. So what we did is we tried to identify very specific pieces of each of those strategic directions and kind of targeted objectives and actions that really kind of cut across all of the sectors to really, again, emphasize that message that, you know, the green print could be a health print for the Memphis region. So they had their Parks and Recreation group, Community Equity Group, a Transportation Group, a Health and Safety Group. So the Community Health and Wellness Group was already a part of this structure, and then HIA was meant to be kind of to achieve one of their objectives, which was to bring a Health and All Policies perspective to planning in the Memphis region. There's also a Neighborhood and Housing Direction, Sustainable Resources of the more traditional environmental group, a Workforce and Economy group, and then a long-term sort of data group. And they all had strategic directions matched to each of these working groups and this whole structure. And the message we went to them with early on is this idea that the community health and wellness group health can be one of the central links, linking all these together. So if the vision's for a healthy community, then all of the strategic directions were relevant to health. And that actually ended up being a pretty salient message to all these different working groups when we would go and present this information. And they had, oh, now I see how transportation relates to workforce development, and both of those relate to health. But we also promoted the idea that it's not just health at the center of this kind of ring, that any of these different directions relate to each other, so any of them can be the center, and they all are interrelated. And that seems like a kind of a small nuance, but that really was something that I think the folks in Memphis needed to hear from sort of an external consultant, to have somebody come and say that, you know, what you're all doing in your own individual silos, even on this one big project, you could really start thinking more cross-sectorally about the actions that you're taking. So we did early stakeholder engagement. We selected specific target actions and developed pathways to come up with research questions, and again, had to scope from very big to down to some narrow aspects we could really run some analysis on and look at and select priority outcomes from the region. So we had our different stakeholders holding stakes. So the Community Health and Wellness Group, you don't need to know this. We presented to the consortium, had community meetings to engage the community and find out their concerns, find out areas of, you know, geographic areas that they were interested in examining from green infrastructure, so parks and recreation kind of standpoint. So that's the maps from our initial community engagement. We tried to have one map of blue for good and red for bad, but they put them all up on the same map, so we just had two maps that really matched. It'll be a later map, but basically the health disparities map that the health group had already put together, you know, the areas that were high poverty, majority minority, high negative health outcomes were also the areas that the community identified as areas needing the most help and that could really benefit from some strategic kind of green infrastructure planning. So we took the preliminary report, input from the advisory committee, select from about 150 different actions in this document. We were able to then narrow it down by strategic direction, by specific target actions, and then with research questions. So the whole scheme being, after this vision plan is done, there's going to be some level of project selection, and that's going to do something that's going to lead to healthy community. And that's what the HIA was trying to answer, is how do these strategic directions lead to project selection that's going to have the biggest impact on creating a healthy community. So we used the framework of the pathway that they presented in their kind of big circuit diagram. That's pretty standard in HIA to use those. So we used ours, and we titled it, you know, decision points, proximal effects, health determinants, and health outcomes. So just using an example from the first strategic direction, which was to create a system, connected system of parks, greenways, and open space. So the big diagram, you affect access, that's moderated through actual and perceived safety, and that affects the actual use of these facilities, that affects the physical activity, affects exposure to nature, community interaction, that leads to changes in some of these health outcomes, possibly. So after we presented all this, so in the initial presentation of data, we wanted to get them thinking, you know, so the health group was already thinking about these health outcomes. And so we presented it to them and said, you know, here's the different, you know, where you stand in obesity. Memphis is pretty bad. Tennessee's bad. Here's, you know, the diabetes hospitalizations by zip code. And this brought up an interesting piece because this is all from Shelby County. So the Memphis Public Health Department had this data by zip code for diabetes hospitalizations. But the other counties, DeSoto County, Crittenden County in Arkansas, and Fayette County, the other county in Tennessee, didn't have that robust level of data. And so we were like, well, we can go in and do, you know, focus on the central city where we have most of the data and really, you know, dig into those. And the pushback we got from the project manager, from the project team, was that, no, this is a regional plan. So we want to keep everything at that regional perspective, which really kind of prevented us from getting into some of the really detailed epidemiology that I think a lot of the community health and wellness folks thought we were going to be able to do with the HIA. But by the nature of them wanting to keep that higher level regional perspective, we had to sort of couch it all in these, you know, county level numbers that maybe didn't get down to the neighborhood level that we would have liked in most instances. So then we had cardiovascular disease, mortality, stroke. So we sort of walked through each of these, kind of the outcome side, and then we started to work our way back. So what are the determinants of these? What data do we have on physical activity? Yeah, there's high levels of inactivity in this area. What kind of data can we find about exposure to nature? Nobody really had that data at a local level. how can we measure social emotional support, so the social dimension of access to parks. Then we step back again to the proximal effect. So what are the first things that are going to happen after you create this connected system? You're going to potentially increase access. You're going to potentially change the perceptions of safety, and that's going to affect the use of these parks. So again, then we went into, again, this was all using existing data. We didn't have the resources to really do our own primary data collection for the HIA, so we relied on a lot of the community engagement surveys and things that had already taken place for the larger green planning process. So we were able to pull out of that, and they actually had about 470 folks complete the survey, and these rankings of what's important to them. So how important is it for you to be able to walk or bike to these locations? Parks were very important. Trails and greenways, very important. Kind of community resources were the third most important. So that's how we were able to start to, again, work it back to this idea of access and what people wanted to see and use parks and greenways and that type of infrastructure in the community. Then jumping down to, use, again, how important is it for you to have active transportation, most of these type of access? How do you measure safety? The easiest to get was homicides, but we knew that public safety was a real concern in the region. So that became a big piece of what we looked at and trying to think about what can you change in the park system to affect that perception of safety? And I'll circle back to that. General access. So Memphis actually has a pretty high per capita rate of presence of parks, but then we found out that many of the residents, especially in underserved areas, felt like they had inadequate access to parks and green space anyway. So that's, again, a disconnect between the objective numbers and then what the folks were actually saying in their responses to these surveys. So we created, the full diagram, and then for each strategic direction and action, we went in and selected a priority pathway through input from the community and the other steering committee or the other strategic direction working groups. Then we chose specific actions. So this one is to create, fund, and execute pilot projects to address maintenance and safety issues in one or more underutilized parks. So that's going to affect, maintenance and safety. That's going to affect the perception of safety. That's potentially going to affect park use, and that's going to potentially lead to the social benefits that are going to have effects on general health status. So then we took this and then walked them through, okay, what are some specific questions along each point of this kind of pathway? And then again, worked with them to identify which are the specific questions we want to be able to answer in the analysis. And then we looked at, and again, thanks to Jamila for coming up with this handy kind of advisory committee voting sheet where we had them select their priority health outcomes. Because, again, we didn't have the resources or the time to look at every health outcome for every strategic direction. And, again, knowing that a lot of them were going to overlap and be similar. So we had them for each action select if they wanted, which one they wanted us to really explore out of the final, I think we ended up with 8 specific actions that we explored in detail. And so the priority health outcomes included general health and well-being, physical activity, safety, environmental quality, and mental health were really the ones that sort of emerged through this process. So in the assessment, again, because we're trying to look at so much, we really ended up moving towards a breadth of analysis rather than depth. So rather than really digging in and doing a detailed physical activity analysis of one proposed trail, we had to look across this whole region, a whole host of different outcomes, and a whole host of different strategies that were involved in this plan. And then that led to some managing expectations of the stakeholders. I think had an idea of what HIA was that was maybe disconnected from what the HIA actually became. So there was a lot of talking to them and coaching them that, that it's all right that we're not coming up with a hard number of, potential reduction in obesity percentage, that actually doing this work and having these collaborative discussions is an outcome in and of itself from an HIA perspective. And again, really focusing on this planning effort as a springboard for future efforts to really bring that collaborative perspective to decision-making in the Memphis region. So this is the community health status map we were talking about, where the dark red are the highest risk areas. And this pulls in outcome data, poverty index, access to employment, all these different types of issues. So we pulled all that together, we had all the health data in the preliminary report, and then we took the final report. We had over 130 references in there to really show the evidence base for all these types of issues. surveys, other HIAs on my toolkit. So again, all the input we channeled through our advisory committee that had representatives from all of those different working groups. And again, we were subject to their level of participation, I guess. And in my opinion, it could have been a little bit more robust. We could have had one area, one group that didn't participate as much as we would have liked is the long-term planning group, because we really had a lot of great ideas about here are the indicators you can follow over time, and here are some people you could identify in the region that could carry this forward. But by virtue of that working group, you know, we had somebody identified to be on the advisory committee from that group, but they were only on one or two calls, so that perspective did not get elevated just simply by the nature of them not participating in the process as much as we would have liked them to. We still came up with recommendations for them, but I would be interested to see, you know, how they responded to those, given that they didn't take the opportunity to influence them as much as they could have. We also partnered with Alta Planning and Design to do some supplemental analysis that I'll jump over, but basically looking at active transportation supply and demand, so where are you most or least comfortable for biking or walking infrastructure, and then sort of the demand of locations for living, working, learning, playing, and transit, and essentially show the maps that where the highest demand existed, the lowest supply of the infrastructure existed. So again, a mismatch between where people would be biking and walking and where they could feel most safe biking and walking. Let's see what all is in here. So we have, you know, specific findings for each action. So here's an interesting one, I thought. So one action from the transportation group was to retrofit auto-centric corridors, become more bicycle and pedestrian friendly. So that sounds good. Priority outcome for that is physical activity and safety. But our finding was that improved on-street facilities might be safer for bikes, but new cyclists may actually be more likely to use a dedicated trail. So the idea of actually increasing physical activity, getting new people to participate in active transportation, we came up with the recommendation to ensure safe designs for on-street facilities, but also identifying those parallel routes and making sure the off-street facilities are also well-marketed and available for the folks that maybe aren't gung-ho enough to bike down the main four-lane highway into town, but would be more likely to start biking if they have that new alternative space to use that mode. The overarching findings were that this whole process was really an opportunity to build healthy communities throughout the region, and that the work that they were doing, just the fact that they were doing it, was a good movement in that direction. And then that the parks and trails that they already have were an existing resource for health, and we really tried to emphasize that to them, that rather than coming up with a plan to build a whole lot of new trails, just focus on key connections and then improving and maintaining the existing infrastructure, because as that one slide show, objectively, Memphis does have a high proportion of green space per population. It's just the fact that that green space is poorly maintained, or people aren't aware of it, or they're just not using it. So really trying to leverage that existing infrastructure before investing in new infrastructure. And then one of the biggest ways to promote health through this project would be promoting active transportation and healthy travel behaviors. So that really cross-cut between the parks and green space goal in and of itself, the workplace employment one, the economic development, the transportation one. So really, the transportation piece was something that came out of a lot of those different strategic directions. So we developed the recommendations from those findings. Check those with the advisory committee. Try to make sure we only put forth reasonable recommendations that could be integrated into the final green print strategic plan. Our executive summary has 12 priority recommendations. We tried to tie all of them to actual evidence and findings in the reports, and then include notes on who could be involved in involved in the implementation of those. And again, that was interesting working, because we came up with our idea of like, okay, here's all the different folks that could be involved, and there's this really interesting mayor's task force for economic development that we thought, oh, they would be a great group to promote this message across the region. And then when we did it through the advisory committee, we learned that, oh, well, we don't want to call anybody out by name, again, because we're keeping this regional perspective, so we just want to say economic development groups or planning departments, and we don't want to call out the Memphis Mayor's Task Force, because that one might not actually be funded in 2 or 3 months when this plan actually is announced, so we don't want to call them out specifically. So it was this interesting thing where we came with a lot of ideas for who could implement these recommendations, and then the stakeholder input was, well, we need to, again, be a little bit more broad in our thinking with that. So Here's an example where we sort of had our now and later recommendations, the idea that improving active transportation infrastructure in the short term is going to be really good for improvements in safety, but the long-term steps to increase connectivity and access to destinations, that's going to lead to the longer-term improvements in community health by really changing travel behavior over time. So again, that's just a quick example of what we had. So here's an example of one of our specific recommendations for community engagement. Where's the community engagement one? Public involvement. So it was interesting that they had a community engagement and equity group and felt like they were doing community engagement, but then we realized that there really wasn't a public involvement strategy across all these different sectors. All the different working groups were doing their own community engagement, but there was no broad, long-term public involvement strategy for that. So we really realized that, it's going to have the plan's going to have the biggest positive impact on health if the community feels ownership of that plan. And the way to make that happen is to really promote their involvement in that plan. And so we realized that, the different organizations that were involved in the Green Print Consortium, the steering committee for the whole project, especially those involved with Strategic Direction 2, which was the equity direction, and then neighborhood and community-based groups and the planning departments really needed to come together and come up with some kind of long-term involvement strategy for the community in this process to really leverage any of the health benefits we were talking about. And then we reported results. I'm out of time. We did by specific direction, we came up with kind of these one-page flyers for, here's how economic activity is related to this Green Print plan and how that's related to health, and tried to come up with these specific pathways and specific information for each of the strategic directions. And this idea was something that we thought would really take off with the group, but then when we presented it to them, they didn't want to run with this. So it kind of was, I think, a missed opportunity for them to really engage in this process in a more robust way. So we have our final report up there. We had kind of informal monitoring and evaluation throughout, and again, if that long-term data group had been a little more involved, I think we could have better metrics or better plan for that in the long term. But we did have kind of examples embedded in there where we were talking about they wanted to do community prevention through environmental design was a big thing that they already had in the plan and they wanted to do. And we were telling them, well, you need to identify somebody to actually measure those outcomes and see if that actually changes perceptions in the parks locally and try and adapt some of that data. So again, really identifying the points through their process that they could select certain indicators and certain actors in the community to collect this type of data. So that's the last one. So that's my presentation. Thank you.